Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, praise the Lord. Yes, this is another day that the Lord has made. Yes, this is Saturday night, April 8th, 2017. And yes, you are now in tune once again into the program and the platform, worldwide platform of this radio broadcast. Is titled, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? Internet Radio Show. And I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. Yes, you need to know, for those that may be tuning in for the first time, that we come to you live from Detroit, Michigan. We come to you live each Thursday and Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on tonight, our special guest on tonight, as usual, every second Saturday, is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be bringing the word on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners, if you will go and get your Bibles, if you don't already have them, get your Bibles, which is a word, get your sword, get your pens and paper out and get them ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he brings forth the word on tonight. But before we bring him forth to deliver God's word on tonight, we're going to open up with prayer as we always do. And I'm going to ask that all listeners if you would go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who and all that you are. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would, first of all, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us in spite of ourselves. We know we don't deserve it. We're not worthy. But we thank you because of your agape love, your unconditional love toward us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who came down in the form of a baby, in the form of flesh, to pay our sin debt with his own blood, which he did out of love for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works today, and it will never lose its power. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that should there be anyone listening on tonight's program do not know your son, Jesus Christ, they do not have a personal relationship with him. They are not saved in his name. We pray, Lord, that on tonight, that through your word, even through the songs, Heavenly Father, that something will be said on tonight, that their spiritual eyes will become open, and that you will be able to touch their hearts, Lord, that they will be able to surrender unto Jesus Christ, and they will open their own mouth and confess their sins to him and ask him to come into their hearts so that they can be saved in his name on tonight. For we know that you still saves even tonight. So we pray, Lord, that this program will not be in vain on tonight, that someone will be saved in Jesus' name on tonight, and they will come to know their God purpose after being saved on tonight, and they will walk and live in their God purpose, and they will fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come right now lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver. Yes, Heavenly Father, as only you can in Jesus' name. And then also, Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are bereaved, who have suffered loss in the love of a loved one. Heavenly Father, all over the land, we know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And, oh God, we just need you to comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved. Heavenly Father, some are not saved and they don't understand. But for those that are saved and that have lost loved ones that are saved, we know that they have left this earthly body and they have gone on to their spiritual reward. And so we thank you, for Heavenly Father, for those that have gone on and left this side of heaven and from earth to glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for their work and that it was not in vain. So we just ask that you would comfort and strengthen those that have lost loved ones in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to move by your Spirit through these your vessels that come up and bring forth your word over this platform. Continue to bless each vessel, even Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight in a special way, and use him for your glory, Heavenly Father. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in us on tonight, that you will be glorified is our prayer. Continue to bless each listener in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, right now, we lift up our president and worldwide leaders, Heavenly Father, because we live in the last and evil days, and we know that your word already told us that these things will come, and there will be wars and rumors of wars. And we know that you're still in control no matter what's going on and who's in the White House. But right now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would touch the hearts and minds of our world leaders, that they would make the right decisions, and they would just not go off their emotions, but they would be led by you, Heavenly Father, to do what's right for all people, that you would be glorified. Heavenly Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Touch them that are not saved, that they too would be saved in Jesus' name, is our prayer on tonight, that you would be glorified. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would move by your Spirit on tonight. Have your way is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, on tonight, we have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought tells us, ready or not, Jesus will return soon. And the question is, are you prepared? Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought says to us, ready or not, Jesus will soon return. And the question to each one of us listening tonight, for everyone, the question is, are you prepared? Because the word tells us we know not the day nor the hour, but the Son of Man shall appear. But he is coming soon. And we know that the enemy is still out trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And he do have power, but he has limited power. We thank God that God has all power in his hands, and he still has all power in his hands, and he's still in control. So that is our spiritual food for thought for tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants, ambassadors, vessels, and then once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at all lowercase James_Brown 1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Right now, I have two announcements that I would like to announce before I bring forth our man of God who's going to bring forth the word on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. My two announcements are I am so excited and proud for my young sister, Donetta Barney, whom the Lord has blessed and anointed for such a time as this to write and direct a gospel stage play. And this gospel stage play is titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge. Donetta Barney presents Opposite Ends of the Bridge. And it's going to be taking place on Saturday, May 13th, and then also on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 14th, at the Northwest Activity Center Theater. And that's on in Detroit, Michigan, on the west side. Again, the Lord has blessed my younger sister, Donetta Barney, to write the gospel stage play, Opposite Ends of the Bridge. This play is going to mend and bring back families, marriages, communities, relationships, ministries back together through this play. Even some people that thought they was enemies, the Lord is going to mend those relationships. And so this play has been anointed by God, and he has placed it on my sister's heart. And as one of her purposes in life is to do this play, and the Lord has blessed her and anointed her. And so, again, it's going to be taking place on Saturday, May 13th, and then also on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 14th, at the Northwest Activity Center Theater. You can purchase your tickets at God's World Bible Bookstore on Detroit's west side. That's near 7 Mile Road. On the west side again, God's World Bible Bookstore on West 7 Mile in Detroit. Also, Globe Bible Bookstore on East Jefferson on the east side of Detroit. For those of you that would like to purchase a ticket by way of internet, you can go to eventbrite.com. Again, you can go to eventbrite.com and order your tickets there. For those of you that need more information, you can call area code 313-4302. For those of you that would need more information regarding this gospel stage play titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge, presented and directed by my younger sister, Donetta Barney. My other final announcement is I am so excited that God has anointed and blessed me again to be able to conclude part two of my book. It's part two of Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? Part two is titled Are You Scattering God's Flock? And so this is another book that we can use as Christians to examine ourselves according to the Word of God to make sure that we are not scattering God's flock. We want to make sure, again, that we're not liabilities to the Kingdom of God, but we want to be assets. And we also, at the same time, want to make sure that we are not scattering God's flock. Because sometimes those that are in the body of Jesus Christ and trying to be doers of God's work, sometimes we can have such a nasty attitudes or whatever the case may be, and we can scare to cause some people to walk away from God. And God is going to hold those accountable that does that. And so this book is titled, again, part two, is titled, Are You Scattering God's Flock? And this book is also available at Amazon.com. And I give God praise, glory, and honor for blessing me to be able to write this book. It is now available through Amazon.com. Well, right now I'm going to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox. And as we always do, he's going to come forth with a short testimony first. And after he share his testimony, we will be going into a short music break. And following that music break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox so he can deliver God's word on tonight. But for those of you, just in case we have time, at the conclusion of his message, should we have time, if there be any listeners that would like to call in and have comments or feedback to Deacon Marvin Cox, you want to take down this phone number, area code 657-383-1364. Once again, you can dial area code 657-383-1364. Again, should we have time available after he concludes with his message, if there is any callers that would like to have feedback or comments to Deacon Marvin Cox, we will do so at that time. I will open up the phone lines after the conclusion of his message if we have time. But right now, we're going to ask Deacon Marvin Cox to come forth and share his testimony.
Amen. I thank you once again, Brother Brown. I give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm indeed once again glad, as a matter of fact, overjoyed to come before God's people to bring his rich and rewarding word. I thank God for blessing me down through the years. I thank the Lord for watching over me during my times of contrariness, where I thought nothing about him, where I thought I was big enough to do whatever it was that I needed to do. But I just thank God for humbling me and for blessing me, for blessing my family, for blessing those people that I have come to know and to love. I thank God for strengthening a body. I thank God for having a roof over my head. I thank God for all the things that we take for granted in our everyday life. I just thank God for watching over me as I slumbered and slept, waking up this morning seeing a day that was not promised to me, but he allowed me to make it thus far. Just thank God for his good and his worthy to be praised. Those that know the strength and the work of prayer, pray much for me and with me, that we all grow stronger in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. But we thank you for sharing that testimony on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. And right now we're going to go into our music break. And following this music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox so he can deliver God's word on tonight. So right now we're going to go to our music break for tonight.
I give you praise.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. I give you praise was the title of that song. God is worthy of our praise, and so is his son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. Yes, he is worthy to be praised. Well, tonight, right before I bring Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to bring the word in a very short moment, while I was making my announcement, I failed to mention, I do want to give some shout-outs to some of the cast members that is a part of this upcoming play, again, titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge, which is presented by and done, written, directed by my younger sister, Danetta Burney, a gospel stage play, Opposite Ends of the Bridge. The cast members, some of the cast members consist of none other than Evangelist Peggy James, again, evangelist, musician, singer, soloist, evangelist Peggy James. We have Pastor Ron Todd. We have Pastor Rick Buck. Also, Minister Gerard Brooks. He was a former music director at Shield of Faith Church, where I am a member. Again, Pastor Rick Buck, Minister Gerard Brooks, evangelist, singer Peggy James, and Pastor Ron Todd. These are some of the cast members of this upcoming gospel stage play that's will be taking place on Saturday, May 13th, and also on Sunday, May 14th, Mother's Day, at the Northwest Activity Center Theater in Detroit, Michigan. I did want to make sure I gave a shout-out to those cast members. It's a great play, and you don't want to miss it. Well, right now, I am so proud, again, to be able to bring forth, again, every second Saturday, Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to be bringing forth the word. And right now, Deacon Marvin Cox, I am right now yielding the mic to you so you can deliver God's word to God's people on tonight.
Amen. Let us bow our heads, please. I think it's essential to solicit the Lord when the opportunity comes to bring forth his word. Father God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my Father, in the name of Jesus, we come. My Father, just thanking you for this opportunity, my Father, to bring forth your word. My Father, we ask, if it be thy will, my Father, that you calm the hearts and the minds, my Father, of those, my Father, that are living in uncertainty. My Father, we ask that you bless the children of the world, my Father. My Father, remove the fear from their hearts, my Father, of the current events that's going on. My Father, we ask that you bless and that you protect them. However, my Father, we ask not our will, my Father, but that your will be done. My Father, we ask that you give comfort and strength, my Father, to those that are bereaved. My Father, we ask that you give peace, my Father, to those that are in discomfort. My Father, we ask that you bless your word so the recipients of your word, my Father, would be able to go forth, my Father, and say, I yield. What must I do to be saved? My Father, we just ask that you bless and heal. My Father, we ask these and all blessings in your Son Jesus' name. In his name we do pray. Amen. Oh, we're going to go right into the word tonight. And the word is about friendships. It's about relationships. And in no way am I knocking families with the word that's coming forth this evening, but our topic for tonight is a friend is better than a kin. And I'm coming from the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 24th verse. And I'm reading from the King James version of the Bible. So those that have your Bibles, you can read along with me because I'll give you a periodic scripture. Now, before I get into the message, as I was saying, I'm not in any way casting dispersions upon families, because in Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 50th verse, the Lord is letting us know that for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And if you notice, all components of the family were covered. It said, whoever do the will of the Father, those are my family. Those are the ones that God has chosen for me. So we have to be careful, because occasionally we attach that word friend to almost anybody. Now I'm going to go into the word, Proverbs the 18th chapter 24th verse, excuse me. It said that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, until recently, until the Lord allowed me to really examine these scriptures, I thought in order for me to establish friendship with someone, that I just have to be friendly with them. But the word is letting each and every last one of us know that we have to have a certain amount of familiarity with the people and have to have a certain amount of like for the things that they do. We have to have a fellowship in whatever it is. And friendly, in this particular case, means that we have to have something in common. We have to have a common bond that draws us together so that we can go forth and do this one particular thing. If you notice, they got a brotherhood or fraternal order of police. They got a sisterhood. They have all different types of things, whereas people come together. The one thing that they have in common, those are the things that draw them together. And I'm going to translate that for you. It said, one who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin. So they're friends, but they're unreliable friends. So they're not true friends. It said, but there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I'd like to point out the first part of the verse. It has an S on the end of friend. And we know that whenever you put an S on the end of friend, it means more than one. It means that this is plural. So one who has many friends. So we have all types of friends. We have friends on the job. We have friends in the neighborhood. We have friends who we hang out with. So the word is saying that we have unreliable friends that we will soon come to ruin. But there's a way out. Said, but there is a friend, which is singular, who sticks closer than a brother. It's one out there whose love for you supersedes all of the other so-called friends that we have. It's one out there who cares just as much for you as he does for himself, or cares much as for you as she does herself. Now would be a good time to examine ourselves and detach the word friend from a lot of people. Well, I know this individual. I am an associate. I'm a comrade. I'm a buddy. That's my road dog. But is your road dog truly your friend? As I was saying, we must examine ourselves on a daily basis. Do this individual truly have my best interest at heart? Does this friend that I have, will he be willing to go my bond? Now, I'm going to give you several for instances of friends, and I'm going to give you several for instances of family members. See, family members are closely related to us. See, we cannot choose who our mother is. We cannot choose who our sister is, who our uncle is. These are things that we have no choice in. But a friend, a true friend, is one whom we can bring to ourselves, bring to our bosom. These are the ones that we can truthfully choose, one who knows us better than we know ourselves. Now, I'm going to give you an example. In Job, the second chapter, the 11th verse, Job was in distress. We know about all the dilemma that Job had went through. We know that he had lost his family. His land was destroyed. His livestock. All the things that most of the things that Job held close and dear to his heart was taken away. But he had three friends. Now, I would truly say that that's a blessing right there, to have three true friends. And so, just said, I'm reading out of the King James Version of the Bible, Job, the second chapter, 11th verse. And it reads, when Job's three friends heard of all of this evil that had come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. Now, my brothers and my sisters, the word is letting each and every last one of us know that a friend will travel. A friend will come up out of his comfort level to come and tend to your needs. A friend will put his family to the side, but making sure that they're taken care of, and say, I'm sorry, honey. If with the wife, honey, I'm sorry, I got to go and check on my friend. I got to go and bring words of a comfort or encouragement to my friend. Now, how many of us will be willing to come up out of our comfort zone? We may set up a prayer, but, I mean, to leave the comfort of our family and to go. It said that they had made up an appointment, so they had all gathered together to come and to do what was necessary. And once they got there, well, we know that, you know, that they just sat there for a little while. Didn't have much to say, probably didn't know what to say. But one thing about it is that they were beginning to wonder. But see, a true friend knows you. They were beginning to wonder, well, Job, what was it that you done that would cause God to treat you like this, or that would cause God to bring this thing upon you? Now, if you truly know your friends, if you truly know someone, you know that a lot of things, a lot of calamity that may come upon that friend is not of their own doing. It's not anything that they participated in, any transgression that they had done against God. But every now and then, we know that Job was an exceptional man. The word said that he was perfect and he was upright. And God will use an individual every now and then to show the rest of us. He would brag. I would say that God was bragging on Job because the demon had completely overlooked him. God said, have you considered? Which means that Job was overlooked. Job didn't even appear. He was so perfect, he didn't even appear on Satan's radar. But have you considered my servant Job, who's perfect and upright? So those calamities that come upon us, sometimes we as friends or we as associates, we would question that individual. We would say to ourselves, God must be angry with you. But God does not necessarily have to be angry with you to use you as an example of your faithfulness, as an example of your dedication. God does not have to, as I say, be angry with you. Now, we're going to move right along to Proverbs 22nd chapter, 24th and the 25th verse. And it says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Now, how many of us have, and it's talking about those hot-tempered people that we sometimes associate with. Now, verse number 25 says, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. How many times have we been in the presence of someone and we calmed them down, but somehow or another, miraculously, when we got home, the attitude that they had, we inherited that attitude, and we go home and we begin to abuse those people who had nothing to do with it. So it says, don't be a friend with that type of individual who has a hot temper, that individual who is quick to anger. God's word is letting us know. So we have to be able to have that discernment within ourselves as to, is this the type of person that I want to be around? Is this the type of person? I know we're supposed to labor with each other. I know we're supposed to have understanding, but the minute, and we see it every day on our streets and in our neighborhoods where one friend is angry at someone, and we go to that friend, or someone goes to that friend. We see it every day on the news, where a friend called another friend because somebody had offended him. He round up his posse, and he got a gang of people to go and try to make restitution for the wrongness that someone had done to that friend. So the word is letting us know, don't associate with those type of people. If I got a problem, my best bet is to take it to the Lord. My best bet is to allow the Lord to say that if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, victory shall be mine. And God lets us know in his word, he said, vengeance is mine and I shall repay. So when someone offends you or someone do something that you don't totally agree with, turn it over to God. So we have another example that we are not to take matters into our own hands, because a friend, a true friend, will talk you out of doing damage or harm to someone. He will counsel you. He will console you. He will let you know to let it go. So if you're someone out there that is constantly egging you on and telling you you got to see about that brother or that sister that offended you, watch him. Okay, now we're going to move right along. We're going to go to Genesis, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 16. And that is letting us know about Cain and Abel. And I know that most of us should be familiar with that story. It's letting us know that when Cain and Abel, when the father had found favor with one brother, now I'm talking about a kin. He found favor with that one brother, and the other brother did not like it. And to make a long story short, and I'm trying to condense everything because I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But when one brother was offended with the activities of the other brother, he took the other brother's life. So how many of us, through jealousy, have not necessarily taken somebody's life but killed them in our thoughts, did not encourage that brother because we were jealous or thought ill of that individual that God had blessed? How many of us have thought that individual did not deserve the blessings of God, that because we didn't get it? How many times have we, in our ignorance, have kicked against the blessings of God? So we know that these brothers, one of the brothers had what I call misdirected anger at the other brother. And so eventually we feel that when somebody is at an advantageous position or somebody is being blessed or somebody God has found favor with, we have a tendency of, as I say, we might not necessarily have to shoot them with a gun. We don't necessarily have to stab them with a knife. But there's a lot of ways that you can kill a person without even taking their life. So this is another example of a friend being better than a kin. And so we're going to move over to Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. See, I'm not going to turn on and off my love. I'm not going to do it. My love should be continuous. It should be perpetual. It should be to the point that regardless, that I'm going to love you anyway. God should love us in that same way. God should be, yes, he does. And so if I got to be picky, and there's a lot of people nowadays through Facebook, got to be friendly on Facebook, or either I would definitely unfriend you. I will unfriend you in a minute. And we look at all the people that we associate through Facebook. And one common thing on Facebook is an individual unfriends another individual. Well, you know, I don't approve of that what you do, so you're no longer my friend. So we have to be careful. Say a true friend that says that a brother is born of adversity. And if we were to look at that, say that a brother just through the bloodline will attend to the needs of another brother that has failed, through the needs of another brother that has come up short in certain areas. But a friend loveth at all times. This, as I said, continuous, is perpetual. It will not diminish up under no circumstances. A friend chooses, and that's the key word right there, he chooses to be able to go and comfort his friend, his fallen friend, his comrade, or whatever phrase you might associate with. So a brother, just through the bloodline, will do things because, you know, that's my brother, and my mama get mad at me if I don't do that. But God's word is saying that friend has a choice. That friend chooses to be there. That friend chooses to travel. That friend chooses to make himself available to the other friend. Now we know Proverbs 12:26 said the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth him. Now I want to translate that. The righteous choose their friends wisely. Now, I have no business, we have no business befriending gangsters, hanging out with that rowdy crowd. If we find ourselves in the midst of these type of people, Jesus should be continuously coming off our lips. He should be the topic of our conversation. But see, the flesh is very easily excited. The flesh is constantly asking for excitement and dealing with feelings. So we have to be extra, extra careful. See, but the way that the wicked seduceth him, which lets us know but that some friends, so-called friends, will do their best to lead you astray. They will know that you promised your wife or your husband that you will be home at a certain time, but just for party's sake, they will say things and they will do things to entice you to stay longer than what you had promised that you would stay. They will do their best to make you out of a liar. They will do their best to turn you into a deceiver. Now, if I got my best friend interest at heart, I'm going to tell them, now, didn't you promise your wife that you would be home at a certain time? Didn't you promise your wife that you was going to do? I will remind that friend to keep up his, to maintain his obligation. I will remind that friend that keeping his promise to his wife and his family is far more important than hanging out just a few extra minutes with me. So to say the brother is born of adversity, but a friend loveth at all times. All right. Now, in James 4, chapter 4, verses say, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Now, that's a toughie right there. But it's truly not that tough. It says, whosoever therefore, I'm just translating it, whosoever shall therefore will be a friend to the world is an enemy of God. Now, enmity is hostility. Enmity is opposition. So God is letting us know in his word that anybody that is a friend to the world, they got hostility against God. They're opposing God because the world is not where God wants us to be. And God's word says, I was with them, but I was not one of them, which gives us the opportunity to go out there to into our jobs, our various places that we go, and mingle with people, but totally disassociate ourselves with the activities that go on in some of those sinful places that we may attend. So God's word is truly letting us know about friendship. Now, if we were to go to Samuel, we know that Saul and Jonathan had a friendship that they said that they were knitted together, that their souls were knitted together. Now, that's the ultimate sacrifice. That's the ultimate friendship right there. We know that in order for us to go forth, that we have to have that oneness of mind. Now, friendship, friend, is just like having two bodies and one soul. And Jonathan was willing, they were willing to go. Say, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not getting away from here. Come on, I'm going to stay here. Elijah and Elisha, that's another example of friendship. Now, it would make us want to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, how far are we willing to go with our friends? What will we do for our friends? In Samuel, the 18th chapter, 1 through 3rd verse, it says, and it came to pass, when they had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Well, if you don't know the story, we know that if he had went back, it was certain tragedy. We know that a friend will protect another friend and lead him away from danger. A friend will just give him that advance notification, hey, you shouldn't do that. If he sees that friend acting contrary, he would immediately let that friend know your activities are not so. He would let them know in such a way that he would protect that friend. Now, we're going to go over here to John, the 15th chapter, the 12th through the 15th verse. Now I'm talking about that ultimate friend. Talking about what a friend that we have in Jesus. I'm talking about that friend who has stuck closer to us than a brother. Talking about that friend that is go our bond. That friend that will lay down his life for us. That friend who will be there when we're friendless. I'm talking about that friend that will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, John 12:15, it says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, that's a friend right there. Friend don't promote hate. Friend don't promote hostility. friend does not bring forth animosity against anyone else. Now, verse number 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, this is the Lord speaking, and he's letting each and every last one of us know that he not only talked the talk, but he walked the walk, because he laid down his life so that I may have the right to the tree of life. He laid down his life so that I may have life and it more abundantly. He laid down his life so that we could reconcile with God. Now, what a friend we have in Jesus. Now, he even goes on in the next verse and he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatever, whatsoever I command you. So, there's a certain amount of obedience. We have to submit ourselves unto our friends. We have to put ourselves in a position that when we in a contrary state of mind, that we listen to our friends. They say, if you do what I say, say, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant know not what his Lord doeth. So the Lord is letting us know that as his friends, that he's going to call us into the inner circle. He's going to allow us to commune with him in the inner circle. But I have called you friends. I no longer call you servants. Now, what type of promotion is that? What type of elevation is that? That's the ultimate elevation, when you no longer considered as a servant, but you considered as a friend, because you could confide in a friend. Pour your heart out to a friend. Love a friend. You could make a mistake around a friend, and he hold no grudges. He just will try to stay with you until you get it right. He would pray for you. He would comfort you. Same way your old friends did him. That friend is not going to leave you nor forsake you. Lord never left us nor forsaked us. Also it says, but I have called you friends, for all things I have learned of my Father I have made known to you. And God's word is always constantly letting us know, say, I will hold no good things back. So there's no restrictions on what God is capable, on what the Lord is capable of doing. I will hold no good things back from those who are going to say worship him, from those who turn their life over to him. I'm just paraphrasing now. And the Lord is going to reveal those secrets of the Father. He's going to let us know. He's going to show us and lead us in the pathway of righteousness. He's going to go our bond. Now, what a friend we have in Jesus. There's none greater. He is the greatest friend. And this is not contradictory, but he is the greatest friend the world has ever seen. I know a few minutes ago I said a friend of the world, but Jesus is a friend to the world, and that makes a big difference right there. See, a friend of the world is one who is going along with other people's foolishness, but a friend to the world is one who has the interest of the whole world in his heart. As the song says, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the little bitty babies. He's got the mother and the father in his hands. So he also let us know that them who we have in his hands, no man plucketh out. So it's time for each and every last one of us to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, what type of friends do we have? Do I have a friend that will tell me about my wrongdoing? Do I have a friend that will that will admonish me and continue to love me? Do I have a friend that if I offend him, will he continue to consider himself to be my friend? He knows that I'm human. I'm subject to mistakes and errors. So, my brothers and my sisters, that's why I say a friend, and I'm talking about the ultimate friend, Jesus Christ, is better than a kin, because we're born into some families and it's nothing but gangsters and sinful people in that family. But that friend, that one that we choose to walk that last mile with, the one that we choose to confide in, to submit ourselves to. I'm talking about the Lord. I mean, there are physical friends, just like I said, like Jonathan and Saul and Elijah and Elisha. But right now, I believe that our best bet is to consider Jesus, because he will, if we go through our life and just have one or two friends, we're probably ahead of the game. So God bless you, and may ever keep you. Remember, a friend is better than a kin. A true friend is better than a best friend. You know, we associate and tell people, well, that's my best friend. But he might be my best friend as far as the rest of the friends is, you know, he might tell me to go home on Sunday when other friends might not tell me to go home at all. But I hung out with him all week long, so he might be the best friend because he did tell me to go home. I was supposed to go home on Friday, but I hung out with him until Sunday, so I'd rather have the true friend than the best friend. Because if the best friend is of the world, then it avails me nothing. God bless you once again, and be able to keep you. I'm turning it back over to Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. What a powerful word on tonight. And yes, that is a true song, and I love it. That's one of my favorite hymns, gospel hymns. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege it is to take everything to God in prayer. We thank God for you on tonight for delivering such a powerful word, as you always do. But this was a unique message on tonight, and I think that the listeners, someone needed to hear that word on tonight. I know I was really blessed by it. And you always bring something, not only you, but all my guests, when they bring forth the word. That's why I thank God for all the guests that bring forth the word on this platform, that when you break the word down and I see the word, that same scripture that I've heard over in years, that even as a child growing up and into my adulthood, I hear the same scripture, but I get new revelation from it each time that I hear it from the vessels of God and as I read it for myself. So I thank God for you. That's why it's so important that we get in the word. Because the word said we, the people, his people perish because they have the lack of knowledge. So we thank God for you on tonight. And I pray that someone has been blessed by this word on tonight and know without a doubt that you do have a friend in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. And his love for us never fails. And we thank God for that undying, unselfish love that he has toward each one of us on tonight. Well, right now, it's a time for us to get ready to close out our tonight's program, so we did not get a chance to open up the phone lines, but God's word went forth, and God was still glorified, and the devil, Satan, was horrified because of the word on tonight, and I pray that someone was saved on tonight, that someone is coming back to the fold because of the word tonight, and that the body of Christ is built up and strengthened and edified because of the word tonight. A friend is better than a kin, brought to us by Deacon Marvin Cox. Well, as we get ready to close out tonight's program, we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. I'm asking all listeners to go in prayer with me at this time. Once again, Heavenly Father, it is in the name of Jesus Christ. We come again to give your name praise, glory, and honor. We thank you again, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We thank you for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that there is none like you in all the earth. You are so awesome in all your ways. You are so worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for the vessel that brought forth the word, Deacon Marvin Cox. Continue to bless him, continue to strengthen him, continue to anoint him and use him for your glory, that he continue to stand on the wall and deliver and teach and preach your word to this dying world. Heavenly Father, that souls will be saved as you continue to use him, that his purpose in life will be fulfilled, that he will bear much good fruit for you in the earth through sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So continue to bless him and use him, and continue to bless and strengthen him and his family, protect them as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Continue to look over those and protect those that are serving in our military, Heavenly Father, and all those that are bereaved. Continue to comfort and strengthen as only you can. Continue to move by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. In Jesus' name we pray. Continue to have your way in our lives. Move by your spirit, Heavenly Father, on tomorrow. Be your will that each door that's open on tomorrow, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you are moved by your spirit. Have your way. Touch and anoint each vessel even now that's going to bring your word on tomorrow, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ corporately and then as an individual will be built up, strengthened, and edified through your word on tomorrow, that you will be glorified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to have your way over this worldwide platform as we continue to give you praise and glory through it and for it. We thank you for your grace and mercy toward each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well,
amen.
On tonight, know that God loves you. I love you, too. Until the next time, continue to be blessed and always seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these other things that you're seeking will be added unto you. Until the next time, good night. Know that God loves you. I love you, too.
Good night.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.